And yes, what does it mean? It means that people won't. Why is it that people don't speak out in Israel as well? You know, since I moved my life to Tamra, I meet hundreds of Jews inside Israel and around the world who think like me. But if we confine it to the Jewish population inside Israel who think like me, why are there many people who don't speak out? Because we can find that we lost a job. I don't have a job to lose, so it's okay. We confine that maybe it's difficult to claim benefits if you need them. All sorts of things go on behind the scenes. You can have your telephones listened to endlessly. There are all sorts of ways of applying pressure to people to break them down. And I think that, you know, it's no doubt that having been in the prison in South Africa, that I have seen it all and been there. And so people like me are totally unafraid. And it's the people who are unafraid who are going to be left to speak out, because it's the people who are afraid and who don't speak out are the ones that they pick on. And the number is getting fewer. The prospects for peace now in the Middle East at the present time are absolutely nil. The situation of Palestinians inside Israel is growing economically worse and worse every month. 50% of my town are unemployed. Perhaps you didn't know that the social security services in Israel discriminate against handing out benefits to Palestinians. There are all sorts of loopholes in the law which they use to deprive them of their benefits. Recently, I can give you a very good case, all the Arab security guards on the train system, railway system in Israel, were suddenly given an order that they were going to lose their jobs, just like that. And why? Because they hadn't served in the army. Well, excuse me, nobody asked them if they wanted to serve in the army. Nobody created the sort of state where they might feel that they really have something to lose, that they have something to contribute to. If you ask any young Arab in Israel that said today, they will say, yes, I would have served in the army if I was a truly equal citizen here, okay, in every single way, and my country valued me. I probably would have served in the army. But they were never, ever offered that, right from the beginning, despite...
I understand they are not even allowed to serve in the army, the Arabs. Is it true?
It's not quite the case, but we'll come to that afterwards.
All right.
I was going to say that 2 years ago when I was in the States and we had the problems with Lebanon, and I live not far from the border, so we really were involved in that war and it was terrible. 64% of Israelis, Palestinians and Jews, wanted to enter into direct negotiations with the Hezbollah. There are Israelis now at the forefront of the struggle to take the country in another direction who are already meeting with Hamas outside of the country. I'm not free to go into more details, but it is taking place. And this shows you that there are people in Israel who have a vision for their country, a vision of where we would like to see our country in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time. 5 years ago, I wrote an article about how I would like to see my country be led to a Middle East Union. I'm more interested in how my relationships are with Lebanon, Syria, Iran, Iraq, Libya, Egypt, all of the Arab countries, and far more interested in that than whether I make trade with Germany or France. Okay, because I don't live in Europe, I live in the Levant. And Israel has a Levantine history. And one of the problems of the Jewish return, so-called return to the state of Israel, is that Israel tries to project itself as if it were the eastern arm of Europe. Mm-hmm. And it is not a European country. And there's no doubt in my mind, after lots of meeting with government ministers at high level, at hundreds of meetings around the world and conferences, that eventually, but probably not in my lifetime, that this is what will happen. But it won't happen before there's a bloody fight. And I predict a lot more trouble before it comes to an end. I also predict a lot more administrative detention in Israel against Jews. Here, perhaps you don't understand what administrative detention is. Israel, amazingly enough, is still run by the laws laid down by the British during the Mandate in 1945. Which means that anybody who is suspected of any sort of act against the government can be held without trial, without access to a lawyer, and without any access to the files that the security services will have fabricated against this person. And this is a sobering thought. I'm going to actually, I could go on for hours about, I've made it very clear that Tamra suffers from lack of funding in every area. So when I say every area, I mean healthcare suffers, education suffers, all of the electricity and all the wiring is all above the ground. Many people don't have permits for their homes. Home demolitions don't only take place on the West Bank and Gaza. There are 150 homes at the moment scheduled for demolition in my town. And why is this? Because the government has never actually made proper legal arrangements for Arabs to build. There is no government subsidized housing projects for Arabs. Arabs have to build their own homes. This means that many people have to wait 10, 15 years for a permit to build. In 10 or 15 years, your family grows. So you build. So that means that you're forced into building illegally. And this is the weapon that the government uses against you. Despite massive international pressure, despite European Union reports on home demolitions and transfer of Palestinians in East Jerusalem, nobody seems to be able to stop the Israeli government in its brutality. And so we have to ask ourselves, where is it going to end, and how is it going to come to an end, and how are we going to stop it? And despite everything that I've said here today, I don't want one single person here to go away from this room thinking that I don't love my country and that I'm not proud to be Israeli. There are many amazing achievements in Israel in 61 years. We have one of the best healthcare systems in the world, which I can safely tell you is totally without discrimination inside Israel. And we have phenomenal high-tech industry and research into science. What I'm ashamed of is the policies of my government, and ashamed that so few people have the courage to speak out. And I believe that in solving this conflict, we have to show not anger with Jews, well, even like me, who returned under the so-called law of return, but I believe that we have to show compassion for people on both sides, both Palestinians who've lost everything in the Nakba, And both Jews, who have also lost everything from the Holocaust, and who have unwittingly been brainwashed by this terrible political theory, which is totally outmoded for the modern world. And we have to show compassion for both sides, both historical narratives, but we also have to stop seeing ourselves as victims and to move forward. On the other hand, what I think is wrong now is that the world doesn't listen to the voice of dissident Jews. Okay? I mean, I've been exceptionally lucky because I had, for some, you know, God must have smiled on me, that a few exceptional people in the world at very high level in governments happened to read my book. And this gave me the opening that I needed to be able to speak in the EU and to speak, like I've just returned from the Netherlands, where I gave a special presentation to the Dutch Foreign Affairs Committee. And we talked about this guilt. And one of the ministers said to me, are you saying that you support the way that Hamas use human beings as human shields? And he got very emotional and quite. And I said to him, and how do you feel about the women in Gaza, okay, who, because I've discovered that the only way to make people listen is to take things down to the most basic level. So I said, listen, when I speak with the women in Gaza, they cover their faces in shame, and they tell me how they try to manage when they have a period. So he said, well, why aren't there sanitary napkins? And I said, I'll tell you why, because they're locked in a bloody lorry on the other side of the line. And when you decide to put pressure on Israel so the supplies can come through, the women of Gaza can clean themselves up and live like dignified human beings. And he was very embarrassed. And I said to him, yes, it's an embarrassing subject, but the world needs to hear it.
Das war Susan Nathan. Wir danken Peter Voss für die Aufzeichnung und Zusammenfassung dieses Vortrags. Sprecherin war Heidi Mergener. Technik Nikolaus Gollwitzer. Verantwortlich für die Sendung bei LoRa Marion von Hofacker.